Friends in Christ, I bid you grace, mercy, and peace in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Liz, it's so wonderful to have you with us here in church this morning. Congratulations and welcome home. Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem, and there are large crowds following him. We know, reading forward in the gospel account, that he is journeying towards the cross. We presume that Jesus knows this as well. So in his mind, the cross, the passion, all that this signifies, not only in kind of an earthly sense, but also in the spiritual one, and the significance of this moment for all eternity. And the crowds are traveling with him, perhaps with quite a different orientation in their hearts and their minds, and that is they are coming, following along with Jesus, anticipating maybe a kingdom or some kind of vast political expansion of the people of Israel. So it's in the midst of the height of popularity that Jesus makes these very strong statements about what it means not to follow Jesus, as the crowds clearly are, but what is the significance of being a disciple of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. So there seems to be the potential for the crowd and disciples to kind of be in this, you know, all together kind of moment of following along, the disciples being students of Jesus in a deeper sense. So this came out in my reading, an account of a professor being asked about a student. Who had mentioned, you know, I was a student of, you know, this great professor, and the professor responded, he said, well, he may have sat in my class, but he was no student of mine. And perhaps you know that moment, the distinction between one who was there, you know, tapping the toe, you know, kind of thing, when will this be over, you know, kind of perspective, versus one who was there attentively, you know, soaking it all up, and on their own time doing what they can to further embellish and you know, fill in, explore the realities that have been exhibited to them in class. So to be a follower, to be one who attends versus one who is a disciple and a student, a completely different categories. And Jesus begins by speaking to this relationally, bringing this home, you know, unless you hate father, mother, brother, sister, and so on, you are not fit, unworthy of being a disciple of mine. Those are tough words, and certainly hate is, you know, kind of a familiar word today in the broader cultural setting. We should understand that these are coming from the mouth of the one who says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, your soul, your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, in addition, also love your enemies. You know, kind of thing. And so then kind of putting all of this together, recognizing that Jesus is not in fact inciting us to hate anyone, but rather to recognize that in following Jesus, all the relationships of life will be subservient to this one dominant primary one. And this, frankly, is a challenge for us. The Word of God, you know, Scripture, the law of God, the commandments of God, speak to reality and the nature of life as God has made this, evidence this, through, you know, his character then through creation and what have you. And so there are do's and don'ts. And looking to the Deuteronomy text, recognize real quickly that the way of following God or following Jesus is not simply a heads-down kind of perfunctory one in which your feet may be on the straight and narrow, but your heart be someplace far away. That is notion is completely inconsistent. To be a follower of God, to be a disciple of Jesus, it involves this avid, you know, loving heart, active soul and mind kind of dynamic. And thus also our worship. The words are here. We come with hearts and souls, you know, overflowing. That's why the first circle for us is celebrate, the sense of coming together with the abundance of God's word and the dynamic of being in relationship with him, the real thing. You know, I'm kind of playing off that old jingle. Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. Jesus, the real thing. But the whole sense of being in this fellowship, in this reality, and this then is expressed, you know, overflows from the soul in a worship of God and also in service to others. So Jesus is really not inciting us to hatred. He is simply saying, love God, love Christ first, and then the relationships fall into order. And this is then, you know, where parents know this, you know, tough love comes into play in the sense of this is not always the nice message to have to convey, and yet love expresses this sense of right and wrong, do and don't, and so on in life. And frankly, I think all of us have had loved ones, you know, very dear to us, you know, cross the line in terms of what God has revealed, and we're faced with this challenge of loving the person, not loving the actions or the decisions or perspective or what have you, but loving the person, and these two can, you know, coincide because clearly they do in the heart and mind of God. That we are all in this position in which we are beloved of him as much as I think it's fair and safe to see none of us hold or observe or keep the whole counsel of God with the fullness of our heart. Each of us have a sense of this I struggle with, this I'm not sure about, this I wrestle with, or this is difficult for me. And yet God embraces us fully and welcomes us as we are, even as he welcomes children, and then journeys with us in life. So Jesus is with the disciples. Jesus is with the large crowd as he makes his way to Jerusalem. So he goes on to give, you know, further illustration. There, the next one is, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Do you not first, you know, sit down and count or estimate the cost? And here, just simply a reality. What is the cost of being a disciple of Jesus? And frankly, again, the cost can be painful in the sense that it can cost us relationships. It can cost us a sense of collegiality in the public square, where the things of faith are not necessarily embraced or elevated. You know that if you say I believe in Jesus, there's perhaps an aspersion that is cast upon that profession and that acknowledgement. I am a Christian. I attend church. I read the Bible, I pray, I believe, I wait, I trust in God for these kind of things. Not everybody is embracing this. And yet the profession is there. So a measuring of the cost. But note how there's development. You know, this is building up. Because the next illustration is a king going to war with 10,000 versus a king coming at you with 20, and suddenly the moment of possibility, you know, seems to kind of enlarge. Now, you may possibly build a tower, but to go to war against those coming at you with twice as many is not the kind of thing that you might say, the odds are in my favor. And so growing this sense of, as we look at the difficulty of Jesus' invitation, you know, not just simply to be followers, but to be disciples of Jesus, the relational dynamic, you know, attention, the cost beyond the close friendships, you know, a growing tension, and then the ability to do battle with those immensely more powerful than ourselves, and suddenly it's like, no, I can't do that. Scripture speaks of our struggle not against, you know, not against people, but against principalities and powers. They're speaking to a spiritual dynamic to life that involves the devil himself and the world in opposition to our life and our faith, our journey with Christ, that we are assailed and assaulted in ways tangible and intangible altogether, and suddenly this sense of, I'm not able. But to consider that moment, are you able? And then the answer is no. No, I'm not. No, I need resource. No, I need strength. Or no, I need wisdom. No, I need support. I need beyond myself. And so quite curious then the conclusion of this in our pericope that the illustration of salt is given. Salt losing its saltiness. And frankly, I don't know of this dynamic. But Jesus is speaking to it in clearly saying it must be possible for if we are to be disciples of Jesus, I believe it is first by his calling. And strangely, he has spoken of it in this dynamic. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I take up my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and the way is light. But in looking at the context here, the crowd is following along with Jesus, and he seems to raise the bar and say, you know, this is not going to be easy. If you wish to be my disciple, you must in fact take up your cross and follow me. And the cross, the symbol of the cross, is much more than simply, something heavy or cumbersome or difficult. The cross means the sacrifice. The cross means the mortification, the death of self, the putting of self to the grave. And so in following through the invitation to discipleship, we turn from ourselves to a dependence upon God and a faith and a trust in his calling upon us in life, and recognize that he is the one who has initiated this. And he invites us to this point that having initiated the beginning, that perhaps saying, having been baptized, having received these gifts, now then, in the broader text with Deuteronomy being brought into this. Now then, choose life. Choose to follow God. Choose to be not simply a follower. Choose to be a student. Choose to be attentive. Choose to give time and attention to the Word. Choose to be diligent in prayer. Choose to live a life with heart and our eyes and ears open for service of fellow man. Choose to put yourself aside for the sake of life in Christ. So I'd like to close with a simple illustration. I saw this scrolling across the bottom of the screen yesterday during the games. Something about a football player, I don't follow, so I don't recall the name. It's, you know, it's just like Greek kind of thing. But a football player was released from one team, and by the time that, you know, I went to bed, he had already been picked up by another team. And so I'm scratching my head thinking, what is it that enables somebody to give up life, you know, connectedness in one community, and poof, you know, show up in the next community the next day? What makes that possible? And you kind of know the answer, don't you? Yeah. You know, money. Yeah, yeah. However much money it takes, well, here it is. But I'd suggest possibly more than, you know, the extravagant salaries these guys are making. I suggest possibly also this. Hey, this game that I play, this is my life. This is what I love to do. I live for this. I hear a football player saying, you know, I knew that when my head, I got so many concussions and whatnot, I knew I would be damaged. I knew there would be pain. Now, knowing at the front end and knowing at the back end, I know completely different things. However, there's this acknowledgement of the possibility. But still, the love for the game says, I will go anywhere to do this. Consider the price of our purchase. And we're not talking bucks. We're talking the precious, holy blood of the Son of God for us, the price. That's a way of saying, behold your inestimable worth. Get it? How much do you make? Oh, that's nothing. Here's what Jesus thinks of me. And since my life has been bought at this inestimable cost, I know I belong. I know I am worthy. I know I'm valued. And God has said in some way, you are enough. You are enough. And that is, God who began this good work in us, from Paul's letter to Philippians, I believe, God who has began this good work in us, he himself will see it through to its completion or its wholeness. So what is impossible for us is imminently possible with our God. And the price that has secured our place with him in glory is the means of putting self aside to say, Lord, what is it? Where is it? However much it is, we then, purchased by Christ, are at his disposal, freely at his disposal, for his pleasure, for his glory. And life gets turned around from focusing on ourselves to having a cross and a Savior and saying, there is glory, and there is the reality of my existence. And the cross I love to shoulder, for that is where I find real lasting joy in the kingdom. It becomes the fullest expression of our hearts and our souls because of Jesus. God bless you. You're relating, you're thinking down and estimating the cost, the ability, and rejoicing that God has made it possible, that God has paid the price in the fullness, and so we are his. In Jesus' name, amen.